You're live.
Hey
everyone. It's so weird because we can't see us, but I see you. Welcome to Rejoice Wellness Care. And this evening, we have an amazing, wonderful guest. She is a marriage, family, children, therapist. However, I had to think about that because she's more than that to me. She's in California, but she does do coaching all over the world. And after tonight, you will want her to coach you through. I am going to bring up Miss Denise. Yay!
Hey, Joyce. Hey. Thank you for that introduction. That was, wow.
You weren't ready for me?
I wasn't ready for all that. So I appreciate it, though. Well, thank you.
We're going to start doing, remember how you and I have like Friday night girlfriend conversation?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to begin on Friday evening, Friday's generational conversing. And see if we can get the young people to come on and let's just talk, because I think we all have the same questions, but we all have different answers from different generations. And I think I titled this series today called Looking Through a Different Set of Lenses.
Yeah.
And I was inspired by you because today you were shopping and you had Coach glasses. And
I was trying them on.
You were trying them on.
Yes.
You did not purchase them.
No, I didn't.
So even though you did not purchase them, it made me think about, wow, looking through another set of lenses. What does that mean to you when you say looking through another set of lens?
Well, again, it's all about perspectives, looking at things in a different way. I used to be a professional photographer, and one of the assignments was for everyone to shoot one object. And when everyone came back, everyone took a very different picture. Everyone had a very different perspective. Some people got up close, some people got up high, some people did different things, but it was all a very distinctive, and it was the same object. Mm-hmm. So I think that oftentimes we do this even in our everyday life. You know, we can hear things like on the news or read a post on social media, and we can have a very different perspective based upon the lens we're looking through.
Yes. I did an exercise in church where if you look at the number 9 on one side, on your left side, and if you go on the right side and look at the number 6, on the left side, it is a number 9. And on the right side, it's a number 6. And the only way you can see the difference, you have to be standing on each other's side. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the election that's coming up in 3 weeks, I think there's so many different perspectives, and sometimes you wonder how can people actually see through one set of lenses?
Yeah. Well, I think often people see through the lens of their own experiences.
Okay.
And not, you know, I think when we're looking at things, if you're, you know, I'm talking about the election, that people really view it from, what is it going to do for me? How does this affect me? How can this person benefit me? And that could be very different than what your neighbor sees.
Mm-hmm.
and even the people in your own family see.
Right. Because Thanksgiving is going to be hot this year.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, and even in my work, I'm already hearing a lot about, you know, a lot of tension in families and, you know, and even, you know, I don't really do social media like I used to, but, you know, even different people that I know who are posting different things and have very different perspectives. And it's like, and some of it is very, you know, personal for a lot of people.
Real personal. And very racist. And it makes you look at people.
Some of it is, yes. Some of it is very racist.
And some of it is very sexist. And it makes you think, wow, is this really how we think? Or this is really how we view women. Especially Black.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even think people are conscious of what they're saying.
Right.
They're just saying it. And like, it's
right. And I think if you know, if we were to take the gender part out of it and you just looked at the candidates on paper.
Right. Yeah, right. Like what
you
would
know, where you if you know, because if we were to eliminate that bias of, oh, that's a woman, that's a Black woman, that's a white man, that, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and just looked, we would definitely see a very different perspective, right?
Yes. And I think I was conversing with Brandon, my baby son, and we were speaking about, you know, how we grew up, my generation. Everything we were put in a box. Like there was no, I think other didn't come around to maybe the 90s. But it was always male and female.
Right.
You know, and children have choices, or we have choices. That when we fill out an application, we can say male, female, binary, other, like we have choices. And when people pick another choice that's not normal to what we think is normal, why do we get so bent out of shape? Because we're giving them the choice to pick. You know, and then we're upset when they don't pick what we want them to pick. You know, because in school now, children have choices.
Well, they do now. That may change depending on who gets in office.
Right. And, you know, what's crazy is, can you imagine your generation growing up that way?
Well, you know, I think it, you know, just like with anything, you know, when we're more exposed to the world, we're more exposed to different things. Mm-hmm. And again, our exposure through social media and the internet has broadened our worldview because the world is, we see the world so much bigger now than just our community, our the block we live on, you know. I remember growing up, it was all about, you know, we lived on a certain block, but we didn't go down the block because we didn't mess with those kids down the block. Right. You know, we all stayed in our little silos. So, and also, you know, so we're seeing different things culturally. We're able to see how other people live, how other countries interact and see us, and even how they view us as Americans. It's much more broad than it ever was. So no, I can't imagine the choices that we have now. There was no frame of reference for it.
No frame of reference.
You know, I mean, most people, you know, I moved to Southern California when I was about 12 years old. And, you know, if you go to certain areas, a lot of people never even went to the beach,
Right.
which was maybe less than 5 miles away from where they lived,
Well,
only because of exposure and understanding.
and sometimes the closer you live to something, the less you do. Because I remember 17 years I lived in Coney Island in Brooklyn. I never went to Coney Island. And I used to walk past Coney Island to get on the train.
Wow.
I would maybe, if I got an urge for a Frank, I would go get a Frank, but I never went to Coney Island at
Yeah,
all.
that's interesting. Yeah.
And I hate the beach. And I lived across the street. I lived 2 blocks from the, no, I lived actually 1 block from the beach in Coney Island, because you cross the street, the beach was right there. I can count the times I went to the beach. And now, currently, I live 2 blocks from the beach. I've been on the boardwalk, but I have not been to the beach to touch the sand. I hate sand. It stays with you all year
It
long.
does.
So I don't get the excitement of going to another place, another island, and going to the beach. I'm like, what is water? It's just a different section of the water. So,
Well, I mean, I guess I brought that up because I think that we can be very close to things, but if we are in our minds very close, we don't understand how close other things are to us and to go out and venture out and explore. And growing up, we didn't really have that.
right.
You know, we, our exploration didn't, you know, really didn't go outside of our going to our, you know, me going to school as a kid. Or, you know, even going to your job or per se. So, yeah, so this idea of having choices, this idea that there are just different perspectives is very it's very new. And I think, you know, it's even, you know, but this generation, you know, the generation coming up is really getting to see a lot of things that kids might, when I was the younger, never even
Imagine.
dreamed about seeing. Yeah.
Just think about it this way. My granddaughter, JT, she was born when Obama became president. So not just JT, but Layla and Sekou. They know of a black president. Like, they don't even realize what a big deal that was.
Right.
And now no one in my lifetime and your mother's lifetime would have ever thought a woman would run for president of the United States of America. I
Well, a
think
black woman.
that's a
We've
black
had
woman.
women, but
Yes.
you know, and Shirley, but actually, you know, in all fairness, Shirley Chisholm was the
Shirley
first black
Chisholm,
woman to run
he was the
for
first president.
president.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
But
can't
again, but you mean to really
really.
have, you know, be close to it, and especially, you know, and you know, Vice President Harris is, you know, she's just a click away from the office
Right.
now,
Right.
you know.
I mean, that's just not even imagine like that we I had a young lady in my Sunday school class. I cannot think of her name. Oh my God. She told me, "I'm gonna be the first woman president." I said, "Well, you go ahead on, girl. I would love to see this day come true." But to just imagine a woman, I mean, that just people don't understand how that's going to feel. Like that's
Well,
a
other countries know.
yes, because other countries have women presidents
Yeah, currently.
currently. And guess what? They're doing pretty well. They say you want something clean up. To clean it up, you send a woman. she'll clean up the mess. You might not like the results, because when they clean up, they get everything in the corner. So I think this election is going to, whichever way it goes, it's going to go down in history.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just pray that it goes down in the right history.
Absolutely.
Because I'm
nervous. there are a lot of things at stake, you know, that even growing up, you know, knowing there that certain rights that our forebears fought for may get taken away.
Taken away.
You know. And to understand, you know, that we can't really just say, oh, this is going to be it and this is the way, because things change.
Life be lifing. And people have to get on board, you know.
And that's really difficult. Change is the one thing that's inevitable, but it's the one thing that we really resist. Yes. And we don't make space for it. You know, a lot of people are very, you know, we can become very rigid in set in our ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when the ATM first came out.
Yes.
And my mom was like, I'm not using that. Everybody thought it was like, to go and get money out, let alone make a deposit. What? And now we don't even, if I get a check, I just do it from my home.
I know.
On my phone, you know, and I think, but there are a lot of people who, you know, are very, they can't get past that.
It took a minute for me to get past it.
Yeah.
Because I will never forget, we were in a car one day and Tarina said to me, Mommy, just deposit it. Just take a picture and put it in the, just take a picture. I'm like, what? I'm not doing that. I'm going to the bank. And once I took that picture, I can tell you, I can count the times that I've been to the bank to go see the teller. Because, you know, you have your favorite teller that you go to every Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, my grandmother, they knew her at the bank.
Right. You walk in the bank.
Yep.
You had relationships.
Yes, that's true.
That's what we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have relationships.
No, you know, no, we don't even have. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, the person at the checkout at your grocery store, your local grocery store, knows you. No, you know, those things are really are dying away, and that's really, really sad, unfortunately.
And they don't even realize how important that is, because they somewhat took it away. Like, they don't really, this generation networks, but it's not genuine. It's not real relationships. Everything is business, but business is also the grocery store. So one day you go in there, you're short, but you're a regular customer. They'll say, okay, don't worry about it. I know you're coming back next week.
Right.
You know, because those, you know, it does happen.
Hey, you know, you liable to go into your grocery store and be like, you got to do it yourself.
Right. No. Let me tell you, I had the worst experience, because, you know, I like going to the store.
Mm-hmm.
I like going to Whole Foods or Shop and Stop. You know, you see people and you have conversation and there's
right. rest.
I mean, you know, it's a whole community and you just never know, you know, who you run into. And since COVID, I think I got COVID. And once I got COVID, I couldn't go to the store. So a few of my friends and family sent me groceries. I said, okay, it's cool. I got Instacart. It was fine. Twice. Excuse me. two drivers sent my groceries to a different house. And then going to take a picture and say, but it says this address. I says, but okay, that's my address, but that's not my house. And that's the wrong street you're on. And then go argue with me. And then bring my groceries and break half the bags. It was just a bad experience. I said, and this is why I go to the grocery store. Because the one thing they don't do is that your produce are not like the ones that, it's nothing like squeezing and smelling and picking stuff up and putting it in the bag. And you know what kind of meat you want. So whatever they pick out is what you're stuck with. So I'm really getting away from the groceries being delivered to my home.
Yeah. But I was talking about, you know, you go to the checkout, there's nobody to check out. You got to check yourself out.
I know. And I have an issue with that because I got to pack my bags too. And I think if I'm spending my money, you need,
you know,
to
pack. But I'm saying, you know, but as you, you know, more to your point, there's taking away some of that community because you don't have those interactions anymore because everything is kind of automated. Everything is just kind of out there in the distance, and we don't really and these are the times when we would interact with people, you know. And I think, you know, and I think right now about our elderly, you know, who have difficulties with making these transitions and not knowing how to do it. And, you know, like, you know, they just you know, all they know is like, I put my stuff on the conveyor belt and somebody
it rolls down
or whatever it does, but you know, and so yeah, so a lot of these changes have really affected us. And I think, again, you know, going back to looking at it from another lens, I think if you look at it from a lens of progress, you could say, oh wow, you know, it's more efficient, it's more, you know, you don't have to pay people and people aren't calling off sick. But on the other end, you know, when you think about the people who really need that community, you know, like the elderly person or the little kid who's been sent to the store for their mom, needs that interaction.
And taking people's jobs away.
Well, yeah. Well, there's that too. Definitely. Definitely. I mean,
just like the train station, we used to have the token booth person.
Oh, right. Yeah.
In New York. You have the token booth person.
I got a kiosk.
Right. And wait a minute. And their customer service. All they do is give you information. They sit in the booth and wait for people to come by. And the only information people really want to ask is, how do you fix my card? Give me my money. Can you change this? They do nothing with money. All they do is give directions. So if you're having a problem with the ATM machine, they can't help you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of adjusting that's being done. And when I think about, you know, well, my kids are grown now, but, you know, 10, 20 years from now, you know, I just kind of wonder what is all this going to look like?
Yes. Because I'm still waiting, you know, I'm a Jetson person, so I'm still waiting for the cars to fly because they promised me in 20, what was it?
19. I know. I am not looking forward to that. I know people who shouldn't even be on four wheels behind a vehicle. You know, that's going to be crazy. That would be crazy.
I'm waiting for folks to start flying. Like, fly! Shucks, people can't drive. Can you imagine them trying to fly a car? Oh my God. But let's see what, as the world turns. Well, can you tell me the life of a therapist? And tell us about your beautiful practice in California.
Well, I have a private practice in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Well, my practice is telehealth strictly. I do not see clients in person. And I, you know, when I started off my therapy career, I did, you know, of course, pre-pandemic, everything was done in person. But during the pandemic, you know, therapists had to adjust again with the change. Some were very resistant. Some didn't think, oh no, that can't work. We can't, you can't make connections with anyone via telehealth. I was fortunate to have had the experience with my own personal therapist that my therapist had gone somewhere and she said, well, did you mind, you know, meeting, you know, over, you know, video. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I had no idea, you know. And then when we did it, I was like, oh, wow. And I didn't see a difference.
Okay.
You know, for me, it wasn't different. I didn't feel unseen or unheard or any of that. And so I didn't really have a struggle making the transition of not seeing clients in person. And, you know, my husband's in technology. And so we, you know, and my daughter, she loved the FaceTime. So I wasn't unfamiliar with the technology and knew that, you know, the kind of purpose that it could serve. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my practice, again, it's strictly telehealth. The modality that I feel connected to is compassion-focused therapy. And, you know, in compassion-focused therapy, there are three tenets: is self-kindness, mindfulness, and shared humanity. And the reason why I connected with that so much is, like, really during my very difficult times, I realized I was very hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was I hard on myself, but I was very critical.
Okay.
And oftentimes we can be very, if we're an empathic person, we know how to be caring to our friends, our families, or anyone who's feeling any kind of distress. But with ourselves, we're very judgmental. We tend to criticize. We tend to think there's something wrong or broken in us. And I came across this book by Dr. Kristen Neff. It's called Self-Compassion. I don't know where I got it from, but I think I had seen something, you know, I was looking, trying to help another client. And then I came upon this book and then I started reading it and it really resonated with me.
Okay.
Because I never stopped to think about what I said to myself, and what I was saying to myself was causing me to be in more distress.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that self-compassion teaches is, you know, how would you, to treat yourself how you would a good friend. And really sitting with that and really thinking about that was like, wow, I don't talk to myself well at all. And when I began to see myself differently and began to speak to myself differently, that's when I noticed a lot of my distress really was, you know, I began to feel better. It isn't that my situation just didn't change,
mm-hmm.
right? And I tell my clients this too, you know, therapy doesn't help you change your situation. It helps you change your perspective
right.
about your situation.
Right.
It's what you tell yourself about the situation that causes the distress.
Right.
And learning to reframe that and learning to do that really helps. And also what self-compassion teaches is to be able to sit with our feelings without judgment. Because it's hard because what we want to do is we want to avoid how we feel. We don't want to sit with how we feel. We don't want to make space for it. But the only way to get over is to get through.
Right.
And then there the piece of shared humanity really talks about we all suffer, all of us. That is something that we are on a very equal playing field when it comes to human suffering. We all go through stuff. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care if you're white, you're black. We all experience pain.
But isn't it crazy, though? The Bible also tells you that we are going to suffer. Like, that's part of it. But then you have these, I call them make-believe preachers.
Oh. Make-believe preachers. Yeah. Okay.
Because they don't have a, you know, they have degrees, but they're not accredited. And you can't get a real job with them. And they misread the Bible, and they have this prosperity, everything feel good, you know, money.
If you're suffering, you must be doing something wrong.
Right. You feel suffering. I am never forget when a particular preacher, I won't say someone's name, but they were in a restaurant and they told this story online. They were in a restaurant and their wife looked over and the wife said, oh my God, you know, the terrible twos. And they were like, right, because when we have children, we're going to pray them out. We're going to pray that demon out and they're not going to have the terrible twos. And then they said, quote unquote, that they prayed. They started when the wife realized she was having their first child. They started praying. So when the child became two, they did not go through the terrible twos because God fixed it. And I said, why are you lying to these people? Because all children go through terrible twos, and someone's going to be in the audience, you know, in church, listening to this, and their child is having, tearing the house down, and they're terrible twos, and they're going to think this child has a demon or something wrong with this child, and they're doing everything under the sun, and nothing's happening. And it's like, you have to be careful when you say things like this, because this is not true. It's part of human development. You're going to go through the terrible twos. Now, if it lasts till five, there's a problem. But you have that period. Children are a nightmare, especially when it's your first child. And yeah, you know, just make you feel like if something bad does happen, that you did something. I'll never forget someone told one of my children, you know, that was very sick, that she must have done something for her to be so sick.
Yeah.
You know, people are so
church
brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in that whole you know, name it, claim it movement, mm-hmm. and you know, only speak life, don't speak negative, and you know, if you're feeling bad, you shouldn't be feeling bad. And you know, there's again. And I think that's another reason why I was drawn to this modality, mm-hmm. was because it really took away that feeling that there was something defective in me.
Right.
Because the things that I developed in order to help me cope, mm-hmm. were protective. They weren't defective.
Right. Right. Right.
And so I do think that, you know, I love the church. I love God, and I think, and like with anything else, I think hopefully, you know, like with you, what you teach your congregants is a broader perspective. It's understanding that, yes, we do have a God that loves us. We have a God that wants the best for us. But in this world, we will have trouble. It's promised. How do we manage the trouble when it comes?
Right. And what's crazy is, you know, one thing I love about the Old Testament, God is mean. God is mean as a stump.
What he mean though? I mean,
you know, in Genesis, when he has his conversation with Noah, you know, he basically said, well, not he, but God, because God is not a he. God says to Noah, you know, I kind of messed up, man. I shouldn't have just wiped the whole world out. You know, and he apologized that he murdered everyone, right? And I was like, see, look at God. God is even confessing his sins and saying, you know, maybe the next time.
Be careful.
Right.
And be saying God sin.
Right.
You're gonna get lettuce.
No, but it's in the Bible. God said, I shouldn't have done this. You know, next time, that's why we get that next time he wiped the world out, he gonna wipe it out differently. He's not gonna do it like he did next time. But then just like with Samson, you know, the power wasn't in Samson's hair. It wasn't even with Delilah. It was God left Samson. That's why Samson died, because he prayed to God, give him one more prayer. God gave it to him. His hair grew back. But because he wanted to be this kind of person, God answered his prayer, gave it to him. And guess what? Samson and the whole town was wiped away. God destroys. And then in Job, when, you know, Job is complaining, God asks him, yo, well, where were you when I was making the sea? You know, we don't want to see, because we fluff up everything. I believe in my heart, God brought Jesus down to humanity so he can have a little heart for us. Because God wiped everything out and said, oh, I'm going to start all over again. I don't like these folks. Okay? And when you start to really look at things that way, and that's why in a lot of these new churches, all they read is the New Testament. Because the Old Testament, which you need, the Old Testament really, you know, there's a relationship and you see God differently. So that's why you have Jesus. Jesus was cool. He was calm. He went and he hung out with the hoes and the pimps and, you know, everybody. It made peace, you know. But God was like, just get rid of everybody. In Genesis, he just wiped that whole thing away. He's out. Let's destroy them. Let's get a new. Go get the boat, Noah. Let's start some new folks, because these other ones messed up, and they did. So he started a whole new crew.
Noah and his crew started off problematic too. So. We won't get into the incest and the.
I know.
And all the
right. It did not get better. It looked like it got worse as it went on. So I'm like, oh God, I don't know about Noah, because now you got Lot and his crazy family. It's crazy. And it's crazy how, if you ever listen to a sermon, and this is looking through another set of lens, if you ever listen to a sermon, listen how they always start out with Paul's letters. And like I tell anyone, Paul is secondary, Jesus comes first. So we should really be teaching Jesus' message. And that's the Gospels. And then bring Pauline's letters and the other ones that are there into the content. Not teach all Pauline's letters, and then at the end we take him to Calvary. You know, that's why the church has been so dogmatic. You know, and you know, I had a revelation the other day. You know, Mary and Josephine never get married. Ain't nowhere in the Bible. I look for it. Ain't nothing in the Bible that told us that they ever got married. Nothing.
Interesting.
That's looking through another set of lens. I know folks is probably saying, I done lost my mind. But if anybody can find me a text that said they went to a wedding with Jesus and Mary.
Well, I mean, weren't they technically
They were,
married because they were betrothed? I mean,
no, they were engaged to be married.
yeah, but isn't wasn't that like a but that was a binding agreement in that time. That's why Joseph wanted to put her away because she didn't, because she was pregnant with, he
She was
said, with
pregnant with, right.
somebody else. Yeah.
Right. But they were engaged because, weddings back then were like the weddings in India, that it's a 3-day ceremony because that's the endow, because remember, Mary's father had to, now who pays who? Joseph had to pay Mary's father, the endow, because they give endows when they get married. So none of that happened.
Yeah, you're you know, I don't,
I know you don't
ever
know, but
see that
I'm
there was a way. I mean, the only wedding we hear about is when Jesus performed his first miracle.
right. That's
We never
the
had
only
weddings.
wedding. That's the only wedding in the Bible. Other than that, there's nothing there. Even though someone, I won't mention their name, some idiot pastor talked about the first wedding. I don't even know how they put their mouth to say this. The first wedding of the church was when Jesus called the bride, his church. I said, you need to go back to wherever you went and give back your unaccredited degree, because that does not make sense. People
Yeah,
just make up stuff, but.
well, again, you know, I mean, the same can be said with, you know, my field. I mean, you know, I hear a lot from, you know, clients that come to see me that, you know, you're the first therapist that really asked me questions about this, or, you know, that they, and, you know, and I'm always like very perplexed. It's like, what did they do? Like, you know, what were you, you know, but again, you know, again, these are, you know, people get education, but at the end of the day, you know, when you're in that therapy room with a person, you can't govern what happens,
No, you
you
cannot.
know, and that therapist has their own bias
Yes.
that they have to address. And I don't think all of us, people are always thinking about that. You know, when I meet with clients, and I have different clients, I mean, different races, classes, you know, you name it. And I'm always, I often am very curious. Like, I know you saw my picture. You know,
And you still pick me?
and you know, but really, but you know what? The thing that I hear a lot of is like, I liked what you said in your profile. What you said really resonated with me. And again, with this whole self-compassion, this about learning to treat yourself with kindness. The first relationship. The relate I should say first, but the relationship that is often the most neglected is the one we have with ourselves, because we're not taught how to be with ourselves. We're not taught how to be nice to ourselves. We're not taught how to even affirm ourselves. And I love how, you know, I follow some things, and there's just affirmations and learning the self-talk. That really is healing when it's practice, because we're always looking to the external for validation.
And we're always looking for everyone else to like us instead of looking in that mirror and loving yourself.
And you know, and I tell my clients all the time, I was like, you know, we're so worried about people, what they think about you. And most of the time they're not thinking about you because they're thinking about themselves anyway.
Right, right. And they think about something.
You know, because with social media again, you know, there's a lot of criticism and people can go on there. And I mean, you can post something that can be very mundane and just, you know, but somebody can have a burr up their butt and like, well, why do you say this? Or da, 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 you should have said it like this. And it's like, what? Well, then don't be on my page. You know, we get real, you know, people get real caught up in stuff like that. So and this is why, you know, we're, I think, was it yesterday or today? They were talking about the, you know, wearing purple because of the bullying. Right. And really learning how to self-validate and remind themselves of who they are and whose they are. I always, you know, like I said, I don't enforce my Christianity or faith on any of my clients, but I always encourage them to have a spiritual practice.
Right.
Because there's so much out there. There's so, you know, we need something to ground us. To our humanity and to understanding, you know, that we are, you know, we're only on this earth temporarily, you know?
Yeah. Every minute is a gift.
It is.
So many people don't wake up in the morning. So now, can folks that watch this replay and hear your beautiful skills, how could they reach out to you? Well, if they're in California, how could they reach out to you?
Well, they can visit me on my website, which is wisecounselor.com. And that's spelled WHYSCOUNSELOR. They can also find me on Psychology Today. I am also on different platforms. I'm on Growth Therapy platform. I'm also on Rula platform. So there are a number of ways they can find me and contact me.
And she does take insurance, but there's nothing like cash.
Well, I think, like anything else, you know, therapy is, there is a cost to it and it's not cheap, but again, you know, and most people want to use their insurances, but, you know, if they want to use their insurance, that's fine. You know, but the insurance companies have your information and they know, you know, so it's a whole lot of things, you know? So, yeah. I think if they can, I think being a cash pay client is probably better, you know, that way they don't have to adhere to these strict, you know, guidelines that the insurance companies want to hear, because insurance companies want diagnosis. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are uncomfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't even really think that should be a thing. But you know, these are the guidelines that I have to adhere to when using insurances. They want you to diagnose and label people, which.
And for those that do not live in California, she does have Y Counselor Coaching. I'm not sure, or Wise Coaching. I don't know how.
Wise, yeah. The Wise Counselor, yes. We do coaching. There is also a consulting aspect. We talk to different businesses, you know, to help with their businesses. Because a lot of times, you know, in order to help with employees, because employees are people, and you have conflicts in workplaces, and you have biases in workplaces, and so those things have to be addressed. And so, yeah, we do help with that as well.
Okay. Well, I am so excited that you stopped by this evening, and let this not be your last time, because I think we need to speak about compassionate therapy techniques, and maybe you can demonstrate, and you know, people will come on and you know, do some role playing. Who knows? It's let the spirit.
I would definitely be open to that, and I want to thank you for inviting me, and us having our
Friday night,
you know, our Friday night conversation for the world to see.
I know.
We talked.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, thank everyone that's here, and those that watch the replay, please share and share and share. And it was amazing. I'm so glad that you blessed us with your presence.
Well, also, I want to let everyone, I am all on all social media platforms except for X.
Yeah.
So I do, I am on Instagram, I am on Facebook, The Wise Counselors on Facebook and Instagram, and Threads.
Good. Oh, well, go ahead on, girl. Do your thing. Are you on TikTok too?
No. Okay. My son won't let me get a TikTok. Oh, no.
Okay. All right. You and your son.
No, that I am not on TikTok.
Okay. That's okay. You have enough sites that you covered, and the world, you're about to be released to the world. So I'm looking forward to you coming back and having these fireside chats on a Friday night. How about that?
Yes.
God bless you. And bless thank you all for coming and joining us for Rejoice Wellness Care, because we are here to rejuvenate enough joy that you get excited about yourself. So bye, everyone.
Bye, thank you. Bye, everyone.
Mwah, 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 mwah. And see you guys next time, okay? Bye.
Bye.
I smell. And
it still says live.